Do you remember the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones? The Bible says that God takes the prophet Ezekiel by the hand and sets him down in the valley of the bones. God then asks him if he thinks that the bones can live, and Ezekiel wisely answers, "You knowest, not I." And God then tells him to prophesy to the bones and tell them breath will enter them and they will live. Ezekiel writes, "I did as I was commanded. There was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I looked, flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath." Then God said, "Prophesy to the breath, and say, come from the four winds, and O breath, breathe upon these bones, that they may live." And they lived and stood upon their feet. The passage goes on to say that the bones represent the whole house of Israel. At first, this story sounds like one more supernatural Bible tale until we learn the context and are reminded that Israel had been conquered and divided and the people taken captive to Babylon. So what we have in this ancient tale is a story of hope and promise for a people oppressed and far from home in a foreign land. If you or I had been a prophet in those times, under those circumstances, and it was our job to give our people hope, we might have told a very similar story, promising the life they yearned for and had been left behind would be possible again if only they did not give up hope and kept up their will. Breath, just breath, the story says, is so powerful it can bring us back to life. Needless to say, this is both an Easter and a Passover story, because any story of hope, of life trumping death and freedom over oppression is an Easter Passover story. And we know from our own life experience that one of the gifts of maturity is understanding the power of story and the ability of story to introduce us to otherness and thus invite transformation. And we also know that in the hardest of times, in the face of grief and anguish, reason often has little to say. How many times have we felt like that? Very much like a sack of dry bones, wishing someone or something would breathe new life into us, and then it happens. Maybe it takes a long time. Maybe the breath that brings new spirit and life comes in the form of medication or therapy. Maybe it's a job change or new self-awareness or the healing of a relationship or forgiveness, or something that we do for ourselves, for our own health and well-being. What we know is that the Valley of the Dry Bones is a real place. We hear that story and we don't say to ourselves, "What in the world is that about?" because we know what it's about. Writer Marilynne Robinson offers a perspective on suffering that is worth our contemplating. She writes, "The ancients are right. The dear old human experience is a singular, difficult, shadowed, brilliant experience that does not resolve into being comfortable in this world. The Valley of the Shadow is part of that, and we are depriving ourselves if we do not experience what humankind has always experienced, including doubt and sorrow. We experience pain and difficulty as failure. Instead of saying, 'I will pass through this. Everyone I have ever admired has passed through this. Music has come out of it. Literature has come out of it.' And so we should think of the full experience of our humanity as a privilege." You know, so many of the stories in the Bible are stories of adversity. Adam and Eve and Noah and Jacob and the angel and Joseph and his brothers and the Exodus and David and Goliath and the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son and, of course, the crucifixion. It seems there's a message here. And the message is life is hard and life is challenging and life is a struggle. It was in biblical times and it is today. And yet, despite it all, despite the hardship and the loss and the heartache, we hold on to the goodness of life because there is love and beauty and wonder and birth, music, books, great food, dogs of all sizes, and cats too, and springtime and possibility. Always there is possibility. You know, today isn't just Easter, it is also opening day of baseball season. And what better time to quote Jackie Robinson, who, when asked what he believed about life, told the story of standing with his teammates at the beginning of the World Series in 1947 and hearing the national anthem played. He said he realized, this time it's being played for me too. This is Major League Baseball, and I am standing here with all the others, and everything that takes place here includes me. And I thought, what I have always believed has come true. Robinson went on to say that what he'd always believed was that when human beings are given room to breathe and time to think, imperfections like prejudice will begin to disappear. He said, I always had a deep-seated belief that I had a chance because not once was I forced to face and fight an immovable object. Not once was the situation so cast iron rigid that I had no chance at all. Free minds and human hearts were at work all around me, and there was always the probability of improvement. I think Robinson's belief must have been deep-seated because he faced searing prejudice after being hired by the Dodgers. Several of his own teammates threatened to boycott games if the manager kept Robinson. And in response to those threats, manager Leo DeRosa told the complaining players that he was keeping Jackie Robinson. If they were unhappy about it, he would be pleased to trade him. Good for him. And what a lovely phrase that is, human hearts at work. It would seem that human hearts at work are capable of creating miracle-like resurrections. In the story of his first healing in the book of Matthew, Jesus asks that a young man who was paralyzed be carried to him. And the very first words he says to the young man are, "Take heart, my son." Later that day, after Jesus had eaten with tax collectors and sinners, the Pharisees asked him why he would do that, why he would eat with outcasts like that. And Jesus answered by saying that what he desired, what he cared about, was mercy. We know that many people throughout the world believe in the resurrection as a real life happening, and many more people throughout the world do not. But I would like to think that regardless of one's spiritual leanings or religious persuasion, that the world can take heart in the dignity that the ministry of Jesus gave to the living. There are any number of ways to breathe life into dry bones. Surely Jesus on the cross is the most valley of the dry bones of moments. And we have to wonder why preaching mercy would be so threatening to those in power, but that's how it goes sometimes. So we can understand why his disciples claimed he still lived among them. An empty tomb is really only a new telling of the old dry bones story of hope in the midst of hopelessness and life in the midst of death. That's the glory of Easter. It's a celebration of life breaking out because that's what life does. It breaks out. That's what the story of the resurrection is telling us. Life's good energy that is part of each one of us will not be locked away, not in the persecution of oppression or destroyed through cruelty or entombed in fear. It will break out. It's the same message as the Exodus. People cannot be enslaved. The human spirit will not allow it. So Easter and Passover speak the truth of human heartache, and in their yearnings for freedom, they give us the gifts of hope and of mercy. And it is not, of course, a coincidence that both Easter and Passover take place in spring, nature's time of rebirth and renewal. I suppose in many synagogues and churches, it would be considered a sacrilege to combine Easter and Passover, as I'm doing this morning. But the miracle of captivity to freedom, whether told in the story of an empty tomb or an escape from Egypt, is really the same story, a story of breaking free, and we rejoice in the telling. Life is filled with mystery. How do seeds stay alive, buried in the frozen earth all winter? Think of the journey from the perspective of a daffodil, or a crocus, or a forsythia bud, or sap rising. As one poet said, the crocus bulb breaks ground, never knowing whether snow or sun or ice awaits in warm or jagged welcome. Whether we find hope in Easter and Passover stories of transformation or in the new growth and beauty of spring, let us take heart in the promise inherent in life's power of renewal. O four winds, breathe upon these bones that they may live, and they do. From darkness to light, from dormancy to growth, from oppression to freedom, from despair to hope, behold the blessings of life. May they ever be yours.